Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 10 to 19 inclusive. The Lord is speaking as we pick the narration up at verse number 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I have commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Let us pray. Our Father, as we would seek to understand what it is that you have for us from this passage, we are conscious of our inabilities, but conscious also, Father, of the blessed help of your Holy Spirit, who, it has been promised to us, will guide us into all truth. For his help we ask now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's often been remarked that Scripture has one interpretation but many applications. And I want, therefore, in the first instance, to consider the interpretation of the passage that we have read. And then I want to come to the application of it to us. So first of all, the interpretation. Now, Jeremiah has a succession of visions. And the first thing that the Lord asks him about, what he sees, is a rod of an almond, a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord says that he has well seen and he will hasten his word to perform it. In some translations it is read, I am watching my word to see that it is fulfilled. So this concept of hastening or watching involves in the Hebrew a play on words, because the word for those words, translated hasty, hastening, watching, is very similar in each case to the word for almond. And we see this coming up a number of times in the Old Testament, with something that the inspired writers used to focus the attention of their hearers. I sometimes fancy that if the Lord had been communicating his truth through an Australian prophet, he might well have said, what do you see? And the prophet might have seen a wattle. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you what'll happen. Right? That's the idea of a play on words. Now, the almond tree, you'll remember, take you back to the book of Numbers. You remember Aaron's rod that budded and it brought forth blossoms and almonds. You see, something's about to happen. That's the purport of this first vision. And Jeremiah needs to understand this to be an urgency in the communication of his message. And then the second vision that he sees is a seething pot, a cauldron. And there is some difficulty in translation of the Hebrew in the words that in our Bibles say, and the face thereof is toward the north. And commentators are divided as to which of two interpretations this means. The first possibility is that the fire underneath the cauldron has its opening toward the north. And so, for example, Matthew Henry, in his exposition of a passage. Now, if that be so, what's in the cauldron are the people of the Holy Land. They are there, and they are about to receive judgment from the north. The fire will be stoked up and fed from the north. We'll come back to the north in a moment. But that would certainly be something that was consistent with other passages of Scripture. For example, we won't go there because of time, but if you, at your own pace, care to turn to Ezekiel chapter 24, you'll see the Lord's parable there. And there's this pot, and it's the people of God, or the people who name the name of the Lord, at any rate, who are about to become in the pot, there to be judged. Judgment shall begin with the household of God. But the other interpretation, and it is one that is reflected in some translations, and has also godly men who would exegete it this way, is that the if I can paraphrase it from the King James, instead of saying, and the face thereof is toward the north, try, and the base thereof is toward the north. The pot isn't sitting level, it's on an angle. And my wife will testify to the fact that I'm not gifted with a highly developed sense of direction. I have no idea which of these chapel walls faces north, but it doesn't matter for this purpose. If behind me is north and the pot is seething at an angle and it's about to overflow, it's brimming over, then the people who see the pot, who are before the pot, the people to whom Jeremiah is to prophesy, are going to be consumed with the contents of this boiling pot that is about to be tipped over them from north to south. Now, what of the north? Jeremiah was very conscious of the fact that trouble was going to come from the north. And we can see, for example, in chapter 4, verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, say not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem, for evil approacheth out of the north and great destruction. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 22. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. And some have said that all of these passages that I have read you, with the one from our own chapter this morning, are speaking of the same incident, and it's an early Scythian invasion, perhaps from Syria. Maybe not. Maybe it was fulfilled later in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Why some have suggested an earlier thing is for Jeremiah's prophecy, as I've no doubt Alan White explained to you last Lord's Day, transcended many kingdoms. So in the passage we have read, the prophet is told that he is protected from the kings of Judah. Now, Judah only had one king at a time, but it's in the Lord's contemplation that the prophet will span kingdoms in his ministry. And we do know, it may possibly have been a forward reference to the Babylonian captivity, because we certainly know when we get over to chapter 39 that the princes of Babylon came and sat in the city gate, and that certainly would appear to be foretold here. And of course at the end of Jeremiah we have the capture of King Zedekiah and the putting out of his eyes and the exile into Babylon. But the important thing is that judgment was coming, and it was Jeremiah's responsibility to warn the people. And he was expressly told he had been set over the people for this purpose. Look at verse 10. And he was not to be dismayed at their opposition, lest the Lord confound them, or in some translations, dismay him before them. He was to get on with the job as the Lord had commanded him. He wasn't to hold back. He was to declare all that the Lord had kept and laid upon him. So much then for the interpretation. I want, if I may, to share with you some thoughts about possible applications of this passage to believers in Camden this morning. And the first of those is back in verse number 10. You will see that the scripture says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. It's very important when the Lord sets one over any work that one is faithful in the work. So we can read, for example, and I understand that the Stewards Foundation still retain it as their important motto from Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, those who are set over a work, that a man be found faithful. Now, If the position that one has been, the work that one has been called to, is a work of oversight, then it is important that the overseer, the elder, be found faithful in that work. And we will see, therefore, in Paul's remarks to the Ephesian elders on the beach at Miletus in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is no light responsibility when the Lord sets one over a work. And the people of God may not always respond favourably to the oversight, but they should. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the world rule over you, and submit yourselves as they that must give an account, for they watch over your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So it's a twofold thing, both for the leader and the led, this responsibility that flows from being set over a work. And then, what was the responsibility specifically that Jeremiah was to discharge? Verse number 10 goes on and tells us it was one to root out and to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. And the problem with the people of God too often is that they don't know when to pull down and when to build up. And the scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is insistent that we be discerning in such matters. In the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Verses 1 to 3. And in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, very often we cherish sacred cows and we're not prepared to pull them down. Very often there is a work to be built up, but we're too preoccupied with ourselves to plant, to build up, and to see God giving the growth. Then I want to share with you another application, and it's very short and direct. Look at verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. And in verse number 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time. Now I venture to suggest that you, like me, are privileged to fellowship in a place where the word of the Lord is wont to be faithfully handled, and it comes unto you as it comes unto me. But are we responsive to that word? And the warning of Scripture, both in the Psalms and the book of Hebrews, stands firm. Wherefore, saith the Lord, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Too often, we become hard to the word. I don't say that we consciously do so, but because we are accustomed to hearing the word of the Lord, it doesn't come to us with the freshness that it once did. And we need to be sure that when the word of the Lord comes to us, we respond to him as he would have us to respond. Now I want to take you all the way down to verse number 18. You will remember that Jeremiah has been told, he's been set over the nations, he's been given the vision of the almond rods and the seething pot. And in verse 18 we read, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee." Very often I think the Lord's people are prone to hold back for fear of giving offence. Now it is true, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, that we are to give none offence, neither to Jew nor to Greek nor to the church of God. It is true that as much as it lies within us, we are to live at peace with all men. But where truth may be compromised, we are not to hold back. What the Christian church as a whole needs today, I suggest to you, is those of courage who will say, as Jeremiah was called to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I'm not commending to you a modern day post-revelation prophecy. I'm saying that the word of God needs to be faithfully declared. Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." Acts chapter 20 again, speaking to those Ephesian elders that we were thinking of a few moments ago. Jeremiah's responsibility and ours is to declare all that the Lord has commanded us. And there's a solemn warning on holding back. "Lest I confound thee before them." Don't be dismayed at their faces, Jeremiah, lest I dismay you before them. Don't hold back. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of a holy city and from the things which are written in this book." But I don't wish to finish, and our passage would not allow me to finish, on an excessively negative note. For if we look at the encouragement that Jeremiah had in verse 19, we are reminded that God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure, but with the temptation shall provide a way of escape. And so it was here, having solemnly warned Jeremiah to take heed to declare all that the Lord had commanded him. The Lord said, wonderful words of encouragement, for I am with thee to deliver thee. And again and again in Scripture, we have this encouragement, I am with thee, when the Lord calls his people to action. So it was to Isaac at Beersheba, Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So it was to Jacob at Bethel, Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So it was to the nation of Israel, Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, I would commend to you, as a company of believers who have been gifted with musical ability, that you get hold of your volume 3 of Scripture in Song, and at some stage you make it your business to learn number 505. And you will see there that it starts off, fear not, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. Those scriptures we have said are an encouragement to us, as we see how the Lord has said repeatedly. And I've only picked out a few from the Old Testament. There are many more, both in Jeremiah and Isaiah particularly. Fear not, for I am with thee. Passages. But in the New Testament, we will see the same thing also. So, the Lord speaks to Paul when he's staying at the House of Justice, the place where he stays for another 18 months, having been encouraged in Acts 18 verse 10 by these words, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. One of the corollaries that should send fear into the heart of right-thinking people is that sometimes the Lord is not with us in our actions. So it was, wasn't it, in Numbers chapter 14, for the Israelites, the children of Israel, had heeded to the voice of the majority spies, disregarded the godly counsel and encouragement of Caleb and Joshua. They wouldn't go up into the promised land.